Hello everybody, I'm George from Ireland. Thanks for coming back to my channel. I'm commenting on President Putin's state visit to the People's Republic of China, meeting President Xi Jinping, whom he says is a dear friend of his. They've met on dozens of occasions over the last 25 years or so. So they've met at least several years before Xi Jinping first became president. And remember, Xi Jinping now is president for life. Now, he might choose to retire, but he could stay there to the day he drops. Even Putin's not gone quite so far as to do that, to limiting to a number of 6-year terms. So all the protocol of a state visit was observed. So the guard of honor was there, the 21-gun salute, the children who are doing all this choreographed singing and dancing. It was sick. It was just like his visit to North Korea. There's no such thing as an unscripted opinion there. The whole thing is very carefully stage managed. I mean, who would be taken in by that? As though, because the public has no right to an opinion in the People's Republic of China and increasingly in Russia either, despite the Russian constitution saying there's no censorship. No censorship except. So many exceptions, no generality left. Unfortunately, it's getting like that in Western countries, including the United Kingdom. And this comes only 5 days after Donald J. Trump left China, and Putin also went to the Great Hall of the People near Tiananmen Square. But Putin likes to show that he's not isolated, that he has friends in the world, but notably only 5 heads of state came to his Victory Day parade. There used to be dozens of heads of state would go and things like that. Anyway, so Putin really needs to curry favor with China, his economic master in a sense. You know, China's been Russia's biggest trade partner for 12 years now. Now China's economy is 6 times that of Russia and is still growing, not very fast. So might be only like 5% a year. Russia's supposedly grown by 1% a year. That's probably a lie. It's probably contracting. They both face a demographic death spiral. Russia's in an even worse position than China is, with a lower life expectancy, obviously with a smaller population to begin with, and with a lower fertility rate, despite not ever having that one-child policy and having got 400,000 men killed in the last 4 years, as well as the emigration, particularly of the most educated and the most employable. All right, so the partnership with no limits, as Putin announced when he went to China for the Beijing Winter Olympics just before he began, is a legal war of aggression against Ukraine. So Russia sells a lot of cut price oil, gas, coal, metals, everything to China, relies a lot of Chinese manufactured goods, some weapons directly, much of the Chinese deny it, not that many. Russia's got a major military manufacturing sector itself, one of their few successful products. Well, manufactured goods are one of their only successful things, partly because it's the cheapest on the market. That's because it's like second rate. Often they rely on Chinese components and Chinese dual use goods, things which do have a civilian application, but also have a military application. And another thing about Russia's war industry, in Western countries have got to stop selling the components, which they very often do. They've had years to stop doing them, or indeed selling them to countries which are going to sell them on, despite, you know, an end user certificate, Turkey, the UAE, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, Azerbaijan, loads of countries. All right. So Putin's been to China many times. It must be his favorite foreign country. Come on, Belarus is in the halfpenny place. If it weren't for China, he wouldn't be able to sustain this war. And so many agreements on technology and trade. Now, why so many of those? Because obviously Russia needs more trade. They need better technology and so forth. But, you know, China is energy thirsty and, yes, is moving towards renewable energy. But it's going to take decades to get all the way there. And so cheap energy in the short term. Right. So China's also got so much in terms of rare earth minerals. And some of these are needed for weaponry and so forth. There are Chinese guest workers in Russia. People are less willing to come from former Soviet republics, from all sorts of countries. They often get press ganged into the Russian army. The Ruskies are not doing this to the Chinese because they don't want to hack off the Chinese. China, remember, is officially neutral on the Russo-Ukrainian conflict, having abstained in the United Nations when there was that vote to condemn Russia's invasion. So Russia, thanks to that balanced act, but you know, China's not the ally like Russia likes to pretend. And Chinese spies are caught quite regularly in Russia, and they're then expelled without any statement in the media, because obviously the Russian government doesn't want to disprove their propaganda that they have such an amicable relationship with China. And presumably the Russians are spying on the Chinese. Maybe not too much. They don't want to hack them off. Putin is stuck in this lengthy and unwinnable war. But if it wasn't for Chinese economic support, he wouldn't be able to get there at all. Cut off from the world financial system, often working around through Chinese banks. The Chinese obviously quite worried about secondary sanctions. Someone's paying in renminbi to part of their de-dollarization. Talking about a multipolar world, i.e. to weaken Western, particularly American, mastery. That was it. Sometimes anti-American. Obviously, Russia very much backs up China's position that Taiwan is part of China, must be reintegrated sometime. And Russia was trying to say this is analogous to Ukraine. Well, it's completely bogus. I mean, most of the world recognizes Taiwan as part of China. But no country, not even Russia, claims the whole of Ukraine is part of Russia, and so forth. So maybe this shows China's leverage, its position. The Chinese would like to say that, you know, these foreign leaders are coming to kowtow to them. Now, Putin would like to dine at the top table and reckons China is a superpower. But apart from Trump, major Western leaders won't meet him. I mean, really, nobody from Western, no Western European leader will meet him. All right, Orban Viktor, the Prime Minister of Hungary, met him a couple of years ago. Orban Viktor's out of office. Robert Fico met him last year, the Prime Minister of Slovakia. You know, from Latin America, wasn't the President of Brazil? I'm not sure anybody else has met him in recent years. A few African leaders, but even for the most part, they shun him. You know, Middle Eastern leaders, okay, he's welcome in Iran, and al-Shara, the new President of Syria, has met him. Erdogan has met him, but the others largely not. Okay, the Indians and Pakistanis, they'll meet him, state visits, but these are not the countries he wants to be seen as having parity with. Okay, so, Beijing has got its own problems and sees, again, Russia as a problem for the Western world, but they can turn up or they can turn down in accordance to what cooperation they get on other issues. But he didn't get to go to that secluded area, only the elite get to go, that Putin got to go to, and stuff like that. So Putin and Xi, they released a communique denouncing treacherous military strikes against other countries, the hypocritical use of negotiations as cover for preparing strikes, the assassination of leaders of foreign states, the destabilization of the domestic political situation of these states, and the provocation of regime change, with the brazen kidnapping of national leaders for trial, close quotation. Now, most of that could be Russian foreign policy we're talking about. But in fairness, some of it is an accurate description of U.S. foreign policy and so on. So China calls for an end to foreign wars, but doesn't denounce Putin's war and things like that. So you see how hypocritical it is. They both have a fairly cordial relationship with Iran. But if Western countries did get mired in a war in the Middle East, that might suit Russia quite a lot. So when they don't really want that one to end, they would like the oil and gas prices to remain high. So this is really, an ugliness pageant to murderous, monstrous, savage, sadistic tyrants meeting. It is frightening and sickening that such people get to the top. And I know Western leaders are not much better. But I don't think they're going to be a substantive outcome for Russia, just like there wasn't for the US. Well, thanks for watching my channel. Make sure to subscribe on Patreon. Don't forget PayPal, George Callan 79 at gmail.com. Goodbye. Thank you.